The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
When the time has come for moving on, you can't go wrong.
The Eric Stewart Show. This is Pointing You Home.
Pointing You Home.
All you need to know about buying, selling, and everything in between. Now, here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Good morning, Washington. We have continued to see the market robust in D.C., and I recently have had several questions come in that I wanted to bring to the show today. The first one came from one of our listeners who's in a luxury home that's between $3 and $4 million, and they're currently on the market trying to sell their property, and they're listed with another broker, and they heard the show back on August the 5th and wanted to hear what my feeling was for that price point. If you recall, if you listened to that show, I talked about how timing trumps condition and how vibrant the market is. And what I meant by timing trumps condition is kind of like when you're at the beach and you're at the shore on the ground and you're digging a hole in the sand to find those sand crabs, and all of a sudden a big wave comes in, you're not expecting, it fills the hole and all your work sort of falls apart. When you're on the dry sand, you don't expect a wave to come in, but all of a sudden a wave comes in. And if your house is on the market, when that nice wave of interest and demand comes in, it gets swept up and gets purchased and gets sold. And the kind of market that we've been in is you can put a house on the market that's in kind of average condition, and as long as it's got four walls, a roof, bathroom, and a kitchen, it's generally going to do real well as long as you price it correctly. Meaning you can't overprice it based on condition, but if you price it based on condition, you won't be languishing like we did between 2010 and 2016-17, where the market was just kind of, you know, kind of okay, but not great, especially better as we got later into those years. Now the market is such that if you price correctly and you got average condition, you're going to sell no problem. You'll sell just fine. That's what I mean by timing trumps condition. Now, when you get into a price point that is over, say, $1.5 million to $2 million, you have to have a home that provides specific benefits, otherwise it will sit. Let me give you an example. There are houses on the market in Great Falls, Virginia, for instance, where there are $2.3 million homes that were built in 1975, 1978, 1985 timeframe that don't have a lot of the features that a home that would have been built just 10 years later in the mid-90s or even early 2000s might have had that are $50,000 to $100,000 more. As a home seller, you've got to be realistic about pricing according to the condition in part, but also the style, size, and overall layout of a home based on its era. A lot of the houses that were built in the 1970s don't have the size of ceilings. The height is 8.5 or 8 as opposed to 9 or 10 or 12. So you have to consider what you have against what's out there and competing with you when you price correctly. Timing trumps condition. When you're in a luxury home, you have to consider all of the benefits that you have, and each benefit adds a certain dollar value to your overall price and what you can justify as an agent in asking. If you're selling your house by yourself and every buyer comes to you directly and you're there to make the case for your house and can truly make the case for the value of your home based upon the schools, the orientation, the elevation, the improvements, the construction quality, the replacement cost, and all these other benefits, that's the hallmark of an excellent real estate agent. It's not very common to have someone be able to do that effectively and sell it and really present it and convince. A really good real estate agent will sell the value of the home. And like Warren Buffett would say, price is what you pay, value is what you get. If you can sell the value, you can get the price. That's the way I look at it. In a $3 to $4 million home, you have to find ways to communicate the value of the home that you're selling, and you have to reset the bait on the hook to attract the buyers who will understand what the value is. So if you're on a river, that's a bait you put on the hook and you put it on there fairly consistently because very few homes have a great view overlooking a river. If you have a home that's got 7 bedrooms and 5 bathrooms, and they're all built 2x6 construction with barrel ceilings and herringbone hardwood floors and so on, then you focus on the ornate quality of the property, the detail in construction, and you try to attract somebody who appreciates quality, not just view. Or maybe you focus on the school. Schools don't convey with the land, okay? Just so we're clear, there's been a little bit of a misunderstanding about this. Schools don't convey with the land. The school district goes with the school zoning that can change according to the whim of a school board. They can move a district from here to here. But as long as the district is there when you are buying the home, you believe that that's where your children are going to go. And so we sell the value of that location based upon the current school district. So $3 to $4 million, you've got to find ways to change the story. It's not just about the price. Oftentimes, the same lure is used over and over and over with the expectation of a different result. And we know what insanity is, right? Doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result. Now, you occasionally have that tide come in, like I said before, where it just swoops up everything that's there. But when you're in the higher price points, you've got a very discriminating buyer who's attracted to key features that you may have to offer, and you want to sell those things. And if you're getting just a couple of showings at a time, I would look at the marketing of your home specifically and see what is the change up and how is the social media being played and how is it being delivered. In what consistent fashion? The average real estate agent follows the four P's of real estate, puts the sign up, puts the lockbox on the door, prepares all the pretty brochures and the nice photos in the evening. This is in this luxury market. You know, gets great photos, maybe does a floor plan, gets it in a nice magazine that's branded with their real estate company and then mailed out to people, and then nothing happens. You know, and it's ultimately going to be a question of changing that lure, changing and using technology to drive that. At the Eric Stewart Group of Long & Foster, we have a full-time marketing director. He is a master's degree marketing expert, and we use both inbound and outbound marketing, which is using content-driven marketing like the radio shows and the blogs that we write and the video blogs, as well as the outbound focus of emails and so on, and then the webinars and the other things. You need to have a really great A game when it comes to marketing. And most real estate groups or teams, they call themselves a team, they call themselves a group, but they don't really have the organization that we have at the Eric Stewart Group. That's a good question for you to ask when you're interviewing brokers. What are all the steps associated with the sale of the house when you take the listing? What are all the marketing pieces that you're going to offer? How often do you change your marketing according to the lack of response, right? So look at those things and make sure you've got a really good plan of action. And you want a broker who will tell you what they're going to do. And then after a period of time, usually 3 to 4 weeks, you want them to tell you, hey, this is what we did, which is what we told you we were going to do. This is what we're doing now, and this is what we're going to do going forward. So you get a sense of confidence for the steps that they're going to take you through. We get paid a commission, which only gets paid at settlement if we sell the property. And the risk is on the broker to take all of this time and effort to put in all this marketing. If they're going to put their money where their mouth is, they'll put all of this in to get the response, to get your house sold, and they'll do the best job possible, and they'll be faithful throughout the term of the listing agreement, even if it means they spend thousands and thousands of dollars and don't sell the house, right? Because you've signed a term agreement with an agent, and you want to make sure that it's not just at the beginning and then, you know, list them and leave them kind of a thing. You want somebody who's going to take you through the process and faithfully communicate with you on a weekly basis. Here's what's going on. And then do a review every 3 to 4 weeks. Here's what we did. This is what we're doing. This is where we're going. Make sure you interview more than one broker before you hire one. And by all means, please consider us at the Eric Stewart Group of Long & Foster. We would love the opportunity. We sell in Maryland, DC, and Virginia. And we are grateful for the many sales that we've had, over 120 sales this year. So go to ericstewartgroup.com or call 800-900-9104 today. Well, it's Stuart Rosenthal's turn here in station. Welcome back. Ken Hunter, the engineer on the show, is struggling with smoking. And we've invited Stuart Rosenthal in today for an intervention.
Don't tell me you don't have secrets like the rest of us. Dirty skeletons locked up in some little closet.
Stuart.
Yes, I'm glad to be on the show, and I feel for Ken, but I have a story from the Beacon which I think will be helpful to him and to lots of other of your listeners, and that is tools that can help you stop smoking and what Medicare will cover. Medicare Part B covers up to 8 face-to-face counseling sessions per year to help you quit smoking. And Medicare Part D prescription drug plans cover certain smoking cessation medications as well. So the fact that there are nearly 6 million Medicare beneficiaries who are smoking, and many of whom want to quit, there are a lot of things that Medicare can help you do. So the suggestion is that you make sure you get counseling. Don't try to do it on your own. You can look into the prescription anti-smoking drugs, but they also have some very interesting tips here on how to get yourself in the mode for that. For example, they say set yourself a quit date several weeks out, and it gives you time to sort of mentally prepare for it. In the meantime, try to use the over-the-counter nicotine replacement patches and gums to help you reduce your craving for the actual cigarettes, and then get rid of all the cigarettes and ashtrays in your home. The various tips that they give, and they say stay away from bars and places where people are smoking. That's another good point that people can keep in mind.
Thank you, Doctor. We appreciate your being here today on The Eric Stewart Show. That's Stuart Rosenthal from the Beacon Newspapers. Read about it in thebeaconnewspapers.com. Keith Hare coming up next, the Virginia Healthcare Association, president and CEO, and also the head of the Virginia Center for Assisted Living. I'm Eric Stewart. Go to ericstewartgroup.com for more info on us. We'll be right back.